What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi, we got a gigantic show for you today, so don't skip ahead. Check this out. Today's Shadow Docket podcast, exclusively on our Patreon page, was easily one of the most insane episodes we've ever recorded. Jody says it over and over again during the actual show. Seriously, we started out talking about podcasting and politics, but then the conversation turned to sex, including all the ways sex in movies and TV shows totally misrepresent sex in the real world. And that's where it got particularly crazy. So if you want to listen, go to patreon.com/Bob Seska Show, choose the $5 a month Shadow Docket level, and dive into the fun. The Shadow Docket shows drop every Tuesday and Thursday, featuring uncensored commercial-free talk about everything that didn't fit into the free show, plus sex. And you're going to get access to the Patreon app and the chat room, and you'll be supporting this fully independent podcast as we guide you through the chaos of our politics and sex. So get going. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
We could not talk or talk forever. And still find things to not talk about.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, February 8, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,114 of the Biden-Harris administration, 272 days until the 24 presidential election. You'll find me on Threads and Instagram. The Bob Seska is my handle there. Bookmark it. Follow me, please. Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And those two people right there, it's the Goth Ninjas. Yeah. It is Jody Hamilton, the executive producer of the Stephanie Miller Show. Patreon.com/Stephanie Miller Show to support it. Do it, please. Also, David Ferguson, we sometimes call him T-Rex. His music project is Astral Summer. Patreon.com/Astral Summer is the website. Links in the description for all of that stuff, by the way. BobSeska.com, if you're interested. Okay. We're getting a bit of a late start today because there were oral arguments, Goth Ninjas, in the Supreme Court about this 14th Amendment Section 3 decision by the Colorado Supreme Court. And I think the headline, maybe I'll just read Andrew Weissman's tweet about this. Breaking the Supreme Court oral argument, Colorado will lose, with the only issue being whether a single justice will dissent. Tough and smart questions by the justices, including the three on the liberal wing. And in fact, in particular, Ketanji Brown Jackson, she was doing some of the hard questioning of the Colorado team. So
thinking ahead, this could be us next time, you know, like in terms of people trying to keep people off the ballot.
Yeah, yeah.
Unlike Republicans who can never put the shoe on the other foot and be like, huh, maybe it won't be us forever arguing this side of it, you know?
Right, right.
What Chris was reading today, he's like, oh, they don't like Trump's lawyers. And I'm like, no, Neil Katyal is seeing something completely different. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Thomas should have recused, but that's for another
day. Of course, of course.
He was going to, but he couldn't get the sound out around Trump's nuts in his mouth.
No, I mean, the thing is when I was reading more into stuff that, because initially everything was coming down because it was the Trump lawyer and they were grilling him like hardcore, as they should. And then all of a sudden, Neil Katyal goes, oh, yeah, Colorado's lawyers are not doing the right argument, according to Mr. Katyal.
Yeah.
Because he would have argued something.
I would believe about mostly anything.
Well, and he also has argued in front of the Supreme Court. So
he knows
a thing or two.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, I would have argued this differently. So, I mean, and then grilling both sides is makes me happy in a weird way.
Yeah.
Because they're doing their jobs.
Right.
But, I mean, like I said to you earlier before we started taping, because we do this on tape.
Right. And we do a whole show before we even start taping. So that's...
Oh, we totally do. And then it's on reel to reel. And Bob has to digitize that later.
The razor blade and the tape.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, he has to do all of that work. Regardless of that, no. I'm thinking, like Allison Gill and others are thinking, is what they're going to do if they don't just outright say, Colorado, you don't have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want to do that, which I don't think they want to, is they're going to say, well, it's the primary.
Yeah.
So come back to us when it's the general.
Interesting.
Isn't that what Minnesota did or something? It's like, come back to us when it's the general.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that could be a possibility. And you know what? They may surprise us. I don't know. Because it was one of those things where, yeah, the Trump team really did a horrible job. I mean, John Mitchell, representing Donald Trump was fumbling right out of the gate. And so initially we were all going, holy shit, this guy's not doing a very good job. I mean, he's really making a hard argument for the idea that Congress has to, by a 2/3 vote, remove this ineligibility for an insurrectionist in this kind of case. So in other words, there's someone like Donald Trump. We'll just go directly to the actual example here. Donald Trump commits insurrection. The Colorado Supreme Court says he can't be on the ballot. And then Mitchell was kind of saying, well, it says here in the Constitution that Congress, by a vote of 2/3, can reinstate Donald Trump's eligibility.
Right.
But that's a huge hurdle to cross. 2/3
vote. Is
that
going to happen?
No, it never happened. But ultimately, I think this came down to the court being unconvinced. And again, we don't have the decision yet. We're just basing this on the tenor, the tone of the oral arguments here. But I think the court was unconvinced that one state has this power because it is a national election. So what's the remedy in this situation? And I wonder if they're going to recommend something along those lines. Like, what would it take? What would it require to remove someone running for president who has committed insurrection? If the 14th Amendment Section 3 is insufficient for that, then what is it? What do you do? So it doesn't look good for Colorado. As I said, we're going to wait for the final decision, but don't hold your breath. I mean, this comes down to the same solution.
He's going to be on the ballot. He's going to be on the ballot.
Yeah.
He's going to be on the ballot.
Right, right. I mean, he could eventually be ruled ineligible to actually serve. But here's the thing. The solution to this problem remains the same. We have to work our asses off to reject Trump at the ballot box. That's how we need to gear our priorities here. This has to be the thing, because if we're relying on 14th Amendment Section 3 or some other thing to protect us from the Donald Trump dictatorship, we're doing it wrong. In fact, I would much rather have it be that the American people reject Donald Trump than Donald Trump being rejected by some sort of court challenge. You know what I mean? I think it has more heft if the American people say, yeah, fuck this guy. We're not going to have this guy back in the White House. And maybe by landslide margins in the Electoral College. I mean, that's a very real possibility. So I think that's where we are.
I'm not like hanging that stocking up yet.
Yeah, same.
Like, oh God, just please, just hurry and get it over with.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then, by the way, Chris was like, okay, so Stephanie goes, well, if he's on the ballot, but then it's deemed that he can't serve, what happens? And Chris reminded her, the vice president,
if he
were to be elected, would be the president then. And I'm like, oh, Elise Stefanik? Tucker Carlson?
Barf.
I almost wonder if Trump, Trump will never have Tucker Carlson as his running mate.
No, because his wife likes
media
him.
Media skills.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because, like, he can't have anybody that's going to outshine him or get put up any kind of competition in any way. It would be kind of hilarious if he actually ran without a VP because he couldn't find anyone that he felt comfortable sharing this ticket with.
Oh, you're exactly right, David. And besides, Tucker Carlson has more syllables in his last name than Trump. Trump wants someone who has the same
syllable. Like Stefanik. It's not going to happen. Stefanik can't happen. It's too...
Too much Stefanic. Right. Too much Stefanic on the posters and rolling off of people's tongues. You know what I mean? Like Trump, he needs to have superiority even when it comes to syllables.
And that's, God, then it's going to be Matt Gaetz, isn't it?
Ugh. Or J.D. Vance.
Ah! Vance. That's good.
One syllable, like Trump.
Vance. Yeah. Yep.
Like Pence. Mm-hmm. Vance. In fact, he only has to pay for replacing three letters.
Or, exactly. Yeah,
two letters. He can go from Vance to
just the P and the E.
Yeah, exactly right. So it's affordable, too. So Vance is a bargain for Donald Trump. Plus, it doesn't crush his teeny tiny brittle ego.
Yeah, and Vance is not great on camera.
Oh, well,
he's terrible.
Whenever I see J.D. Vance, I think foosball guy. You know those little foosball characters in the foosball table?
Okay, yeah, now I see it.
He looks...
You're right. Oh, my God.
I always think he's going to try to sell me something, like a timeshare. I don't know. He's just like oily.
Well, that's Donald. That's Donald, too. Yeah, I mean, he's
Donald is like, I'm going to sell you real estate in Manhattan. But, like, this guy, J.D. Vance, is like, I'm going to sell you a timeshare in Destin.
It's already
underwater.
Oh, and by the way, thanks a lot, Montgomery County or Comcast or whoever, because just as the oral arguments began, or the MSNBC version of it, that broadcast, there was like one of those emergency alert system tests that lasted not just a couple of seconds through the beeping, but lasted from 10:37 through 10:52. I mean,
Oh my God.
It was super duper long, and it was just overwrote all of MSNBC or the whole entire cable service.
Cable
here.
Feed.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Bizarre.
The entire feed was overwritten by this emergency service thing, at least here in Montgomery County, Maryland. So I was like, fuck. And so I ran over to the Supreme Court, went right to the source
and listened
there. But Ellie Mistel wrote.
I'm going to tell you, it's not advice I would give to everyone because we need to have like people watching us. But like, Ben and I have turned off our live cable feed. We just were like, fuck it. I'm not paying another $80 for Hulu on top of our huge internet bill.
Yeah.
And I've been so much less anxious on a day-to-day basis.
I know. Cable news is the extent of our live television viewing, which...
That's all we ever watched on Hulu, actually, was MSNBC. And I'm not paying $80 a month to watch one channel. So it's like, goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, oh my God, just on that whole... And I don't know if it has to do... Like, podcasts are fine. Reading is fine. Mm-hmm. But I think it has something to do with how we take in danger through our eyes or something. But also just like, you know, network, like cable news thrives on getting you to come back after the commercals. So it's just all like.
Well, that's all television.
I'm glad you went down this road, David, because in a second I want to talk about something that happened on cable news last night. And this should be a bigger story. Fox News aired a live hate crime.
It was astonishing.
Yeah, on Sean Hannity, he was interviewing Curtis Sliwa in Times Square, and there was a hate crime taking place by Curtis Sliwa's Guardian Angels guys. And we'll get into that in a second. But I wanted to add here, one of the things Ellie Mistel observed as the proceedings were happening is he said Justice Jackson's main point is that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was trying to stop, quote, the South from rising again in their local and Senate elections, but not about presidential elections.
Yeah, no.
Which is no. But I mean, he was.
Wasn't they also trying to argue that the president isn't an officer of the company?
Oh yeah, there was
he's
a
been
whole
trying to argue
country.
That.
Sorry, country, the officer of the country.
Yeah,
I'm like, but we he.
So like, a lawyer is offering counsel, and therefore they are a counselor. You know what
exactly.
I mean? To me, officer, it's one and the same. It's a way of describing someone who holds office.
They really are in the know you. I mean, I know you are, but what am I level of argument?
Yes.
You know, next they're going to be like, well,
absolutely.
His name's not actually Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
John D. Trump. Or
if it hadn't been for Jill Stein and Jill Stein supporters in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation because there wouldn't have been a Donald Trump presidency. There wouldn't have been an insurrection, and therefore there wouldn't have been this issue as to whether Donald Trump is disqualified from the ballot. There wouldn't be this kind of opposition to removing him from the ballot on the court. What we would have, I mean, maybe there would, but this is, we're getting really deep into the weeds of the hypothetical here. The fact of the matter is that Donald Trump was able to stack the court with three people who will, by and large, support Donald Trump. And we're on the path to possibly make that kind of mistake again. And that's why I keep leaning on some of these arguments about the economy and the Joe Biden record and the Joe Biden stability and the Joe Biden decency and decorum and the fact that we have a fascist running for president and democracy is endangered.
Wait, should we have a moment of silence for Marianne Williamson?
Oh, yes. So
what happened?
So sad.
She broke a nail?
Suspended her campaign.
She still had a campaign?
I know.
Hi, Paging Dean Phillips. Hi, Paging Dean Phillips.
Yeah.
Drop the fuck out. You lost to Marianne the other day. So
yes.
I thought I would have felt some kind of shift in the time-space continuum through my crystals when Marianne dropped out. What's funny, though, like, she's like this new age, like, happy, crappy, like, meditator she's crystal not. Person, but apparently a vicious temper and a terrible boss.
Yeah.
I've met her a couple of times. Very nice lady. Because the people that I met her with are also nice people. But I did, a friend of mine worked for her.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't listen to him when she didn't agree. She wouldn't like debate it. She'd be like, no.
Yeah.
She wouldn't try to convince him the other way. He would be like, this is a bad idea. And she'd be like, no, it's not. So that's the problem. Like, don't be a president if you can't. Hi, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Don't be a president if you can't listen to ideas that are not yours and then go, okay, let me convince you that I'm right. You convince me that you're right. That's how that's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. And apparently she is not that person. And it sucks because I've met her a few times and she's lovely to me. I don't work for her, but she's lovely.
I gotta tell you, some of the nastiest, most vicious people I have ever known have been like hardcore new agers. They're like,
oh,
you know,
evangelicals.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of evangelicals. They don't
orbit
in the same circles that I do. It's just not a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, well, the very fact that she engaged in this cynical cash grab by running for president again betrays the fact that she considers herself so woo-woo. You know what I mean? It's
exactly.
Like these two things don't go together. No, of course not. She's in this for the cash. She's in this for the clout.
Yeah.
That's what that's all about. That's the same reason why Dean Phillips is doing it. The same reason why RFK Jr. is doing this. Same reason with Cornel West. They want the attention. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And at the same time, exploiting the power of the laws that created super PACs. Because that's where the money in politics really is. Apart
I
from,
agree.
You know,
I'm
the money that goes
to
consultants.
I'm going to throw my hat in next year. I'm throwing my hat in for 28 just to raise the money so I can spend it.
Jody PAC. Let's start the Jody PAC.
Jody PAC.
That sounds like a great idea. So, yeah,
I bet you spend less on Botox than,
what's
his name from New York that just got kicked out?
Oh, George Santos?
Yeah.
Bless his heart.
George Santos, he's replaced all of his blood with Botox, I think. You know what I mean?
I think so.
I think he's done enough Botox to, like, paralyze an entire football team.
Yes, exactly. Speaking of Botox, let's talk about Sean Hannity. Botox victim Sean Hannity.
Okay.
And
Fred Flintstone.
Bob's like, you know, okay, Bob, throw some claws today.
So he had Curtis Sliwa on to fearmonger about the border. You know, the border of Manhattan with Mexico. Because Curtis Sliwa was standing in the middle of Times Square. Those of you who don't know, Curtis Sliwa goes back years and years and years. Like, I first heard about this guy in the 1980s. He's got this vigilante organization called the Guardian Angels. He wears a red beret. He's known as the only talk radio host who I have turned down when I've been invited on his show. Because he's a clown, and I don't engage with clowns. I've been on many other conservative shows.
Turned down Steven Crowder.
Yeah, I didn't turn down Steven Crowder, did I?
No, I did.
Oh, you did? Wow, okay, good for you. Well, he's a clown, too. But I mean...
It was after my column on boxing came out in The Guardian.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, well, yeah, we want to talk to you. And I was like, no, you don't.
No. Bye. Waste of time. But, you know, I've been on with Geraldo and Tucker Carlson and John Phillips. And I like to go on conservative shows because I like to mix it up with these people. But when I heard from Curtis Sliwa's people say, hey, you want to come on and talk about blah, blah, blah with Curtis? And I was like, are you kidding me?
No.
I think I totally ghosted them. I don't think I even replied to their email. There's no way. No. Right, Nikki?
No.
Yeah.
No.
That was my response.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So anyway, Curtis Sliwa was on with Sean Hannity yesterday, and right in the middle of Curtis Sliwa talking about the border and how everything's out of control, a bunch of his guys off camera started beating up someone who they insisted was a migrant.
Yeah.
How they know
it
that?
Just happened to see one wandering through the cityscape.
Yeah. I mean, taking it face value, I guess you just assume if you're Curtis Sliwa, if you're one of these MAGA Republicans, that anyone with slightly brown skin could actually be a migrant, because that's the racism in all of this. But,
and apparently he was speaking Spanish.
Yeah. So let's listen to a little bit of this. This is what happened.
You also think, like, I'm on camera. You guys chill until the interview's over, okay? I can, like, leave you alone in a public space and you won't get into trouble, right? Okay?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you won't hear this guy getting beaten up, but there were, like, four or five Curtis Sliwa goons who kicked the shit out of him. I saw in the video that because they swung the camera around and you could see this guy on the ground and for some reason they're ripping his shoes off.
If you divide 53 million by 500, that's a $106,000 debit card. Not a bad deal. I don't think they're giving them to vets that are homeless in New York City. Not that I've heard, Curtis.
Well, in fact, our guys have just taken down one of the migrant guys right here on the corner, 42nd and 7th, while all
Were they keeping him in a humane trap in the car or something? Like, I mean, it's just, it's too opportune. Like, oh, we found a migrant right when we were on the air, and now we're beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one just happened to walk across the
street
in front of him. Oh, God, there's a migrant. Yeah, shocking there would be someone with slightly browner skin than Curtis Sliwa's skin.
Speaking in Manhattan. Crossing a street in Manhattan.
Yeah, which is an international city, basically.
Yeah.
This guy's like, oh, there's one right there.
You could be here on vacation, for fuck's sake. I mean,
if you're a hammer, everything's a nail.
Well, in fact, our guys have just taken down one of the migrant guys right here on the corner, 42nd and 7th, while all this is
taken. Can you pan the camera?
They've taken over.
They've taken over.
You'd like the camera over there, if at all possible.
There's one guy, and they've taken over. He's... Jesus,
one
God.
Guy.
Lighten up, Francis, for God's
sake. Lighten up, Francis.
You got your key open, guys.
And what we're seeing here on video while the sound is cut out is Curtis Sliwa's goons beating up this guy on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's from the Bronx.
He's out of control. Out of control.
Okay, here we go.
There. All right. Now, Eric Adams often complains he's getting no support from the federal government to help him with the surge of.
Yeah, good way to change the subject from the hate crime, Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Let's put this on Eric Adams. I mean, I'm no fan of Eric Adams, but Jesus God.
No.
So that audio, the reason the audio dropped out was the actual Fox News feed from Times Square. So that wasn't anything that had to do with the sound clip that I have here. That was what we heard or didn't hear.
Yeah, guys,
on the
your
air.
Key's open.
Yeah, exactly. But here's the conclusion of this. Here's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. On Tuesday, February 6th at 21:33, police responded to a 911 call for a disorderly male, the police said in a statement. Upon arrival, officers were informed that the male had repeatedly attempted to interfere and disrupt a live interview. So it's just a guy who was making an ass of himself, right? Who wants to get on camera.
Like
we see that all the time. Yeah, that happens all the time. Yeah. The male was issued a summons for disorderly conduct. A law enforcement official told CNN's Mark Morales that the man was not a recent immigrant. Instead, he was a 23-year-old from the Bronx who moved to the United States when he was 10 years old. The man had attempted to get Sliwa's attention while he was on the air Tuesday night when the group confronted him, the official said. So that's it. Not a migrant.
No.
Yeah. Fail. Gigantic fail. But they committed a hate crime anyway. I doubt it's going to be charged, but it's something that's not getting a whole lot of attention right now.
It sounded like a hate crime when they were talking about it. So to me, that's evidence.
Oh, and by the way, I was saying it was last night on Hannity's show. It was Tuesday night. But, you know, all the days run together with this shit. So, but that's that. Again, this is the thing that they want for this election. They want people to be terrified of brown people streaming across the border. All those Mexican rapists are coming for them. To behead them, to rape them and behead them. In Times Square, by the way. They're jumping right over the Rio Grande and landing in Times Square. That's exactly how this is working. They have amazing superpowers, all those migrants. So look out. They can leap from the Rio Grande all the way into New York City. That's astounding. So in a second, I want to talk about the House Republicans failing to impeach Mayorkas. which was fun. Lots to say about that. Plus, we're going to talk about how the Republicans filibustered this bipartisan border security bill. This is all related, all related to the hate crime that happened in Manhattan on Sean Hannity's show the other night. And I'm not not afraid to say it. That seemed to be what actually happened. I mean, they beat up a guy because they assumed he was an ethnic minority who doesn't belong here. Also, the Biden documents investigation has ended without charges. We'll talk about that, too. Nikki Haley is actually creating more and more arguments against Donald Trump. I got a couple of clips here that could actually qualify as Democratic ads. We'll play here in just a second. Plus, we've got some good news to end the show as well. So 74% of Republicans want a dictator. We'll talk about that, too. Whole lot more podcasts coming up right after this.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
All-time favorites all day long. Hey, I. Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey.
This is a brand new single from the great Vixen Noir. One of our favorites here on the show. Yeah. It's a song called Something. Download it now. Seriously. Go to BobSeska.com. Find this episode dated 2/8/24. Click that link. Scroll on down. You can listen to the show there if you want to while you're downloading, because there are links in the description to download all this music. All the independent recording artists here on today's show. And by all, I mean two. I've got another single later in the show from the great Tim Russ. Renaissance man Tim Russ, who was on the Wednesday show yesterday, by the way. So, meantime, BobSeska.com/music to submit your work to the show if you're interested. Thank you for doing that. Okay, so let's see here. 74% of Republicans want a dictator.
Oh my God.
This is another reason why this party needs to end. And
I just remember when Obama was in office and they kept calling him a left-wing socialist dictator tyrant.
That's right. That's right.
Against everything that we stand for.
Yeah. Well, that's the great fuckery of all of this is they're still kind of defining themselves as supporting democracy while all at once telling pollsters that they want a dictator. A startling 39% of Americans, I mean, these are all 39% of Americans, including 74% of Republicans, think it's a decent idea for Donald Trump to act as a dictator for a day to begin his prospective second term, according to a University of Massachusetts Amherst survey.
We know who they are.
Yeah.
I mean, we know this. I just wish the population at large would get this, so that when, you know, the Republicans say they believe in the Constitution until something they want is against the Constitution.
Sure.
They say that they support the family until it's a brown family, and then they tear them apart at the border, and they never see each other again. Mm-hmm. They say they're for individual responsibility until someone tries to hold them responsible for something.
Yep.
And it's just, they don't fucking believe in anything except power and fucking with people they don't like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I just... I fucking hate them so much.
Right.
Can we get the journey of the oh my God sound like
I can do it live.
Ooh, wrong one.
Not that one.
Oh my
there
God.
It is.
There we go.
The original
that
one.
That one too.
Is this one? Okay, I played that one.
I forget
already.
What I was. We were talking about.
I'm not sure.
I
have
we
no idea.
We were talking about Jason Momoa and kittens or something like
something adorable.
Yeah.
Seriously, Republicans are like wind socks. Just whichever way their resentment is blowing today is what they stand yeah. for.
And you're right.
It's just infuriating, but you will never, like, and you come to them and be like, do you understand the hypocrisy of outlining this my body, my choice thing when it comes to vaccines, but not for abortions? And they're like, you kill babies!
Yeah. Well, Republicans aside, 39% of Americans in general are supportive of this idea, not realizing that dictators are never dictators for just one day. I don't think there's ever been an example where there's been a dictator who's like, well, 24 hours is up. I'm not a dictator anymore. Let's go back to democracy. That
nobody's
ever
been
happens.
This brain bleedingly stupid before to even introduce this as a concept, except the fucking addled toddler.
Yeah.
Who is their guy who they just everything that, you know, we have no principles. It's whatever Donald Trump wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he decides, you know, he's just because he can't think of what else to say because his. Finishing, getting from the capital letter at the beginning of a sentence to the punctuation mark at the end with that guy is like watching a drunk cross an icy street, you know? And he just was like, yes, I'll be a dictator, sure, but only for a day, you know? And then now they're like, oh, okay, awesome. That is our party platform. And it just...
Dictators are dictators until they're deposed or they die. That's how that always works. And the fact, yeah, you're exactly right, David. The fact that we're even having this conversation is just immensely barf-inducing. This is so bad that we've gone this far. We've fallen this far away from the values that this nation was built upon. I mean, only...
Although Trump really does look like what happens when you cross a penis and a potato. So I guess he is a dictator.
Only 44% of adults completely rebelled at the notion of giving the former president, who is currently facing 91 felony charges, dictatorial authority, calling it definitely bad for America. Only 44% said definitely bad for America.
Another 44% is not terrible. I mean, 18% of people will come out in favor of cold sores, Bob.
Yeah, but I mean, compare that to the 39% who said it's a decent idea. Right?
Oh, my God.
Okay, so 39% are saying, hey, great, let's have a dictator. And 44 are saying, no.
No.
And so that's not too far off. 39, 44, that's in the same kind of margin of error window right there, isn't it? So another.
I'm willing to guess that three of those points are people who didn't understand the question.
But another 16% judge that it was probably bad. 16% are like, that might be a bad. I don't know. I'm kind
probably.
Of ambivalent on the dictator.
That's the cold
question.
Core people. They're like, huh?
Yeah.
I think I might like vanilla. Like, I mean, like,
yeah.
Are they
they're
really
like, they're like goldfish, just like swimming around. They're like a 2-second short-term memory where they're like, ooh, a castle.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I've got a castle.
And
is that a castle? Whoa, a castle.
A squirrel.
Right. Right.
They're all squirrel. No, I mean they're agnostic when it comes to dictators.
Yeah, they are. That's it. It's probably bad, but you know, it could be good. Maybe bad. I don't know.
There could be a God. I don't know. There might be a God. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm hedging my bets.
That's like an op-ed in that magazine, The Week. Remember that website, The Week?
Yeah.
Everything was like ambivalent about, well, you know, both sides kind of have a point. So
it's like, well, I mean, yeah, I could choose between beef and asbestos for what I want in my burger.
The
argument would literally be, well, the asbestos won't kill you right away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it just.
Here are the groups. The following couple of demographics are the groups that are going to save America. The most opposed to the idea of Donald Trump being a dictator were women, 67%.
Shocker.
African-Americans, 82%.
Can we just take a second, though, to talk about how Trump just thinks he's so great with the blacks?
Oh, well, that's nonsense.
No one's done as much for the blacks as I have. It's just like, dude, if you knew that, if you were that guy, you would know that black is not a noun.
Yeah, well, that comes from the same line of thinking as, like, Ben Shapiro saying, I was walking out of a Starbucks, and I heard a couple of Biden supporters saying they were going to vote for Donald Trump. That yarn, that trope that we've heard, like Candace Owens saying shit like that, Charlie Kirk saying shit like that, it's all propaganda.
Who's the guy that kept having cab drivers? And we're like, who takes a cab?
Oh, I don't know. But it's all propaganda to kind of coax people along. Look where everyone else is going. Don't you want to be part of the group? Huh? It's like peer pressure they're applying. So when Donald Trump says, hey, look at my African-American over there, the whole idea is, well, if that black guy supports Donald Trump, I guess I should too. And that's the mentality behind that. It doesn't work.
He only has one black guy.
Right. Yeah.
The blacks for Trump is like one dude.
Right. Right. And he's always at every rally somehow.
Every rally. He's paid to be their trust.
Of course.
I was going to say, and you know that among other black people, he's like Jar Jar Binks. You know, like.
Everything about let's just be clear about this. Everything about Donald Trump is fake. Like one of the things Rachel Maddow brought up on Monday night was that fake union rally that he did in Michigan where he paid people. I don't know if he paid people, but he got attendees to hold signs saying they were union workers and they're supporting Donald Trump, even though they weren't. So it is a complete bullshit event. You know, that's another thing that gets lost in the mix while, you know, the news media stumbles over itself to, you know, jump on Joe Biden's latest gaffe. You know, the actual horror show that Donald Trump is responsible for, the daily humiliations, the daily indignities that Donald Trump foists upon this country, you know, the press can't cover all of that. But they can certainly, every time Joe Biden says the wrong name, they're certainly on that one. We're going to talk about that later. And finally, a full 15% of those surveyed responded that making Trump dictator for a day was definitely good for the country, while another 24% said it was probably good. Again, it's just like, make up your goddamn mind, Jesus. Republicans, by the way, are no longer allowed to say they support democracy or the Constitution. You just don't have a polling number where 74% of them say dictatorship is fine. Of course they will.
They're going to be like, we're the freedom people.
Right.
Like, unless you're trans or black.
Right. Or female. Or, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, so meantime, on Tuesday, this happened.
The yeas are 214 and the nays are 216. The resolution is not adopted.
Is that little Mikey?
Yeah. That was an actual member of Congress saying that, by the way. Anyway.
I feel like the current Speaker of the House is the first person to serve while wearing an actual pair of Buster Browns.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the ha-ha came from Al Green, because guess what, bitches? I came in my fucking scrubs with no fucking shoes on to vote no on this shit. Fuck
you. Yeah. Well,
I want to imagine that somebody like unzipped their face like a V or something, you know, like Al Green.
Now, see, they would have a legitimate argument if something like that happened. But Marjorie Taylor Greene was making it seem as if Al Green just appeared from another dimension, you know, pushing through a membrane in the space-time continuum.
Transport room in the back of the cloakroom.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing is, shocking that the Republicans were entirely flummoxed by adding or subtracting one to or from a number. Where did this one vote come from? I mean, that was the whole thing. He just appeared out of nowhere. I can't do the math. And because the vote was 216 to 214. If Al Green hadn't showed up, it would have been.
Still would have gone down.
Yes, it would have been 215 to 214, and it would still would have gone down by one vote instead of two votes. Yeah. So, but there's a broader point to be made about that humiliation that the Republicans put themselves through yesterday. The first point is they can still go back home and say, we tried to impeach Mayorkas because we care about border security. Never mind that thing that we filibustered on the Senate side that we're going to talk about in a second here. But that's the argument. That's all they need, even if that shit gets overturned. It was the whole Ron DeSantis business model in Florida. Like, I'm going to do all this crazy MAGA shit, and if it gets overturned, oh well, but at least I did it, folks. I was fighting for you. And that's the argument.
I was fighting Mickey Mouse.
Right, right.
You.
So that's
the same thing with the, you've got to just say there's an investigation and we'll do the rest.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. That's the whole Trump methodology.
Flood the zone with shit.
So yep. The other point I wanted to make, too, is if you ever lost your mind at some point or another wondering why, oh, why Nancy Pelosi didn't introduce every single one of your progressive wish list bills, it's because holding floor votes on measures without votes is this humiliating. The humiliation that the Republicans are going through right now because they introduced this impeachment on the floor without having enough votes, and it blew up in their faces, embarrassing them. And making them seem completely ineffectual, especially Mike Johnson. So this is the sort of thing that Nancy Pelosi was desperately trying to avoid, introducing legislation that would fail. Because once something fails, and this has been the entire history of healthcare legislation in this country. Once healthcare goes down in Congress, the next version of healthcare to come along is always more conservative. So what you don't want to do is put up this legislation and telegraph to the world that this legislation is unpopular through a failed floor vote. So suffice to say, Nancy Pelosi did get a lot of progressive legislation passed through the House of Representatives in recent years. That's a fact.
But she never went to the floor without the votes in her pocket.
Exactly.
She knew where her caucus was, and she was able to negotiate. And this is one of the things people are like, I used to Nancy Pelosi. I'm like, Nancy Pelosi is one of the most effective speakers of the House in history. And they're like, well, how do you mean? And I'm like, because she never went to the floor and lost a vote.
Yeah, yeah.
And she would the whip count, who was her whip? I don't remember who her
Jim
whip
Clyburn?
Was. But I think it might have been. But regardless, it's like she got Republican votes too. Because she doesn't do the Hastert rule.
Yeah.
And the fucking Republicans are like, oh, the Hastert rule. And it's like, dude, if you want something to pass, talk to the colleagues. And Hakeem Jeffries brought up, we had the slim margins. Guess what happened? Nancy got shit done.
And in a big way. I mean, I was going through some of the legislation that the House of Representatives passed under Nancy Pelosi prior
amazing.
To prior to the 22 midterms, and the record was astonishing. The thing that drives me up a fucking wall is when activists, when progressive activists don't take into account the lack of votes, they need to be able to count the votes. They need to
like everybody,
the votes for this
whether
stuff.
You like it or not, you need to watch the episodes of The West Wing that were, because I didn't really understand what this any of this meant, really, until I had actually seen it played out with figures on a board, you know, where you're like, oh, that's what it means to whip the vote.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't, you know, it's just people are only dimly aware that, like, you have to make deals with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that Nancy's calling your office and saying, look, you've got to vote for this, and I will get you this amount of federal spending for your district, and it's like a process.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so
American president also has that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of activists on the left tend to bash the Democratic Party without realizing that there are things, there are structural hurdles that have to be cleared in order to get this legislation passed, including the balance of power in either
Rachel
one of those chambers.
Jill Stein said I'd get a unicorn.
Absolutely. So,
Marianne said I'd get a nice crystal.
So, along those lines, Republicans filibustered the bipartisan border security bill that they introduced and supported and wanted and coaxed Joe Biden to compromise on.
And James Lankford has been thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
And then Trump turns around and feeds them their own shit. Like, just, you know, I know that you did this and you want it, but I don't want it because it'll make Biden look good.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't have that.
Yeah. It'll actually.
God is not another pandemic,
right?
You know,
and that it'll actually solve the goddamn problem. And without the problem, Donald Trump's got nothing to run on because he needs to be able to scare the crap out of his red hats,
out of
swing voters and older people who live far, far away from Mexico and are still rending their garments over any brown people that might show up in their homogenized white neighborhood.
In New Jersey. In Staten Island.
In North Dakota.
Yeah.
In North Dakota.
Yeah, real good.
Well, except that most of those factories, like the meat factories in that Wyoming and North Dakota and South Dakota, yeah, are staffed by migrant workers, which I'm
Thank
not.
You.
Of course.
So,
of course. Yeah. But this is great. I hope this gets so much play. And based on Joe Biden's remarks over the last couple of days, I think he's going to make a big issue of this between now and November. Donald Trump accepted full blame for the failure of this legislation. He said, yeah, fine, blame me. I'm to blame. Blame me. In a perfectly length.
It's me.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm the problem. It's
this
me.
Is a, yeah, this is a 16-second audio perfect. Clip. That will fit into any length commercial, even like a, yep. Basically you can run a 15-second commercial out of this. You can do a 30-second commercial with a wraparound, a donut, as they call it. I mean, there are lots of possibilities, but let's listen to Donald Trump accepting full blame for not fixing the fucking border when they had a chance.
And I'll fight it all the way. I notice a lot of the senators, a lot of the senators are trying to say respectfully they're blaming it on me. I said, that's okay. Please blame it on me. Please.
Please blame,
blame
it, on,
it
me.
On me.
Yeah.
Okay, dude.
It's my
Okey
deal.
Dokey.
It's my
so
deal here, Wade.
They always sound so drunk. What the fuck? And the thing is, I told your mother.
Yeah, no, he's sounding like Larry Kudlow. He's sounding like Larry
Oh, yeah,
Kudlow
he is, absolutely.
Now. Greenland is a strategic place up there.
Got a lot of valuable minerals.
A lot of valuable minerals. I don't want to predict an outcome. I'm just saying the president,
who knows
a thing or two about buying real estate, wants to take a look at low interest rates.
Yeah, it's like buying real estate qualifies you for purchasing an entire nation.
A sovereign nation of people who don't want to be. I just. God,
I know. It's
hey,
so
you know, David and Bob, I can't definitively say definitively.
Yeah. I can't even say definitively.
Definitively. Yeah.
So Donald Trump, by the way, in 2018 said that this whole issue of the border has to be dealt with by Congress. When he had the power to use an executive order, so he says, to be able to do this, he actually got in front of a microphone and said, no, Congress has to do it. Congress. Here's Donald Trump contradicting Donald Trump.
The only long-term solution to the crisis and the only way to ensure the endurance of our nation as a sovereign country.
As a sovereign country. I don't know what a sovereign country is. Do you know what a sovereign country is? I'm not sure.
It's a sovereign.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's on its own, apparently, and it's sovereign.
Right.
No, but listen to the difference in his cadence of his voice.
Yeah. This is 2018.
It's just the cadence in his voice from 5 years ago or 6 years now.
Yeah.
Is like he's kind of awake and aware and what you just played earlier, completely different. More He's, like Larry Kudlow.
Right. He just woke up from a nappy poo.
As a sovereign country.
Sovereign.
Is for Congress to overcome open borders obstruction.
Okay. There it is.
What the fuck
Congress
does that
needs
mean?
To do
open
it.
Open borders obstruction?
Yeah. Well, I guess.
Yeah. What is that?
Well, because he didn't have a
what
favorable
does that
Congress.
Mean?
Yeah. In 2018, there were, I think, no, wait a minute. Democrats.
It was Pelosi.
Yeah, maybe he's talking about the filibuster in the Senate. Maybe he's talking about that. Maybe Democrats were filibustering. Just, I don't know.
Who can say? This I don't know. He will contradict himself in the space of a single paragraph.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a 1952 law says the president does not have the right to unilaterally shut down the border. So that issue is entirely moot. But you know what? No one cares about that. That's, you know,
well,
that's the
but he was able to shut it down for health reasons during the pandemic.
Oh, sure.
People are like, oh, he shut it down. I'm like, dude, health reasons.
Yeah.
We shut all our borders off for health
Except
reasons.
Airports,
so.
It's not. It's,
yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, if you came from another country that had a bad COVID, you were not let in. I mean, it was a whole thing.
Well, the other thing here is, and in the big picture, beyond just the border, this is a gigantic win for Vladimir Putin because this has also stymied the aid to Ukraine. As well as aid to Israel, aid to Gaza. I mean, this was a huge amount of foreign spending that was on the table here that the Republicans had agreed to until Donald Trump got whiff of it and said, no, Blame me because I'm going to kill all of this because I want all of this to myself. I want the issue
all of his shoes.
Yeah. So my shoes and my glasses with me. So I have them.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to play significantly against Donald Trump's chances in the fall. I think, as I said before, Joe Biden has vowed to make this a gigantic issue between now and November, and rightfully so. This is their thing. This is the emergency. Next time they say, oh my God, here comes another caravan, we're going to say, well, Donald Trump, you stopped the fucking legislation.
Yeah.
And the president can't do this.
I think that is honestly too complicated for the average TV watcher to understand.
Sure. Yeah.
Sadly, I actually kind of hope that they don't make that a huge cornerstone of their maybe in the reaching out to people on the Republican side. But I just don't see, like, the border doesn't.
It's not
the emotional issue for us and progressives that it is for xenophobes and racists.
Well, progressives, I think the assumption is that progressives are already going to go along, or liberals are already going to go along with Joe Biden. It's the swing voters that matter here. I think Joe Biden wants to win Arizona, and Arizona would put Joe Biden well over the top with
it's a border state like California. Yeah. I mean, California and Arizona and New Mexico are also border states.
Moving on here, we're going to talk about in just a second the Biden documents investigation, how that is over. There will not be any charges, and there are other details to this to discuss. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Plus, thank you, Nikki Haley, one more time.
No.
Nikki Haley is providing lots of material for Democratic ads between now and November. We've got two separate clips of this. Perfection. Thank you, Nikki Haley. Chef's kiss.
No.
Okay, back with more podcasts right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Bob Seska plays more music.
She brought me into this world and opened my eyes, kept all the demons at bay, my ally in life. So many times she would say, boy, that's not right. Mother, without your touch, it's so cold inside. A lady takes my hand.
Okay, now I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, this is holy shit, this is a great
tip. I love this so much.
This is Tim Russ. Tim Russ from Star Trek Voyager, Star Trek Picard, the Combing the Desert guy from Spaceballs, and frequent guest on this show. This goes back about 20 years. This is one of his first singles. It's called Cushion Gaza. And there's a link in the description to download it. After yesterday's interview show, after I was done talking with Tim Russ, I sent him an email. Oh, you know what? I kept forgetting to ask you. I play independent recording artists on the show. Do you want in? And he was like, absolutely. And he sent me a whole bunch of songs to play on the show. So I'm really looking forward to playing more Tim Russ.
This is super appropriate because my mom's birthday was yesterday. It's also mine and Ben's wedding anniversary. We've been married 7 years as of yesterday.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary! anniversary, David.
Happy anniversary. Thanks. Yes, yes, yes. And the multi-talented Tim Russ, Renaissance man Tim Russ.
Oh, my God.
Never ceases to impress.
That was like so like the lost track from the original Top Gun soundtrack.
I know.
Yeah. Holy shit. This guy does everything. Yesterday on the show, talked a lot about politics and really smart when it comes to politics. And then we got into a little bit of astronomy in there, too, and what his favorite telescope is these days, some of the things he's been able to image on his own. He likes to go up to Griffin.
And what is his favorite telescope? Do you mean his favorite, like, of all human telescopes or his favorite one to use
the favorite
for his
one
own
that he,
stargazing?
Yeah, the favorite one that he uses, which is it's called the Unistellar. Unistellar telescope. And
well, my favorite is the James Byrd telescope, okay? The fucker that can see behind other galaxies.
Well, you're talking about the James Webb
Space Telescope. Yeah. Did I say James Byrd? That's the old Klansman, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
James Byrd was a Klansman. Yeah. Yes.
No, this is he endorses the Unistellar EV Scope 2. And I put a link to it on Twitter under my post for yesterday's show. So if you find the post that I wrote promoting yesterday's podcast with a picture of Tim Russ standing next to his telescope, right below that, there's a reply with a link that goes to the EV Scope 2. A little bit pricey. I was a little surprised when I went there. I was like, oh, yeah.
Well, he is a Star Trek actor. He's not exactly, you know, like us.
He's not like us. He's from Star Trek. Yeah.
No, he's awesome.
Barely make the rent every month.
No, you know what? He is one of us. Because you know how I got in touch with Tim Russ is through our friend Travis Bone. Because Tim Russ is a Stephanie Miller Show listener.
He is.
So I was like, oh, yeah, I gotta make that connection. And that's how we got Tim Russ on Trek Politics over the summer. And then I had Tim Russ on again on this show in the fall. And then he was on again. And it's going to be a regular thing. So get used to Tim Russ. He's going to be on this show.
Oh, he's amazing. More often. I had him in my house. So you should have him in your house.
That's right. And he performed for you. He like sang for you, didn't he? Didn't he serenade you
in
your
house?
No,
he didn't sing for us.
I'm totally imagining Jody like in the like Sultan outfit, smoking a hookah. Like, you know, bring in the dancing boys. Who is this?
Bring in the boys.
Bring in the celebrities.
No, I'm very Madeline Kahn. I'm very Madeline Kahn about it. Yes, 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 no. Yes, 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 no. No.
Every single gay man I know was completely like psychologically marked by that scene.
Yeah.
The choosing of the dicks for the orgy. Like,
that was
a
brilliant scene. But no, he came over for the Carpenters karaoke.
All singers are either, I mean, it's no matter how perfect your pitch is, you're a little sharp or a little flat. And there's something about the little flat people makes us sound sad. It's the Nina Simone thing.
Yeah.
Nina Simone. I know her daughter, by the way. Her name is Simone. But her name is Simone. I don't remember her last name. She was in Rent. She was in Rent with Carrie.
It's kind of a cool name, Simone.
Yeah, it is.
But anyway.
I don't think she went by that, but she was in Rent. She played Mimi in Rent with my sister.
Simone was my radio name in 1981.
Oh, I thought it was Long Pockets or Short Pockets.
High
Pockets.
I was Johnny saying High Pockets on the radio. That was my radio name. Okay, we got to get back into politics here.
Did you just make a little snort sound?
That was me. That was me. I can do that.
So cute.
So the Joe Biden documents case is over. There will not be any charges for the couple of classified documents that he had at his think tank office and at his home. And Joe Biden is not asking for any redactions. So when this report comes out, there will be no redactions. A letter from Attorney General Merrick Garland to congressional leaders did not include a copy of Special Counsel Robert Hur's report, which is being reviewed by a legal privilege team. It provided few details about the investigation and made no mention of charges. The Attorney General said Hur filed his final report on Monday, and the bulk of it is expected to be made public soon. And
can you spell Hur?
H-U-R, the
H-U-R.
Traditional spelling.
Yeah.
Bob Hur, Ben's brother. Ben's brother, Bob.
It's Ben's brother. Yeah. Exactly. Ben's brother, Bob.
I'm sure Robert Hur has heard that like a gazillion times. Like, shut up about Ben Hur, goddammit. It's like people referring to me as cesspool when I was 5 years old. It's just like, oh come on. So overused.
Who in kindergarten even knows what a fucking cesspool is?
I assure you they do. I assure you they
Tristan
know.
Snell.
Oh, Tristan
Think
Snell.
Think about his last name.
Oh, yeah. Poor guy.
Snell. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Also, we got to talk about this. Nikki Haley providing lots of commercial material, just like Donald Trump did, talking about how he's going to take blame for the failure of the border security bill. Nikki Haley, in addition to losing the Nevada primary, where Nevadans went
no
to Nikki Haley,
no,
she actually lost to none of these candidates. That was the category.
Is that one of the places where Trump's not on the ballot? Is that what happened?
Yeah, yeah. It's very confusing.
Trump's not on the ballot in Nevada, and so the people just clicked none of the above instead
of there was an option for none of these candidates. Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
Which basically meant Trump. Like, Trump equals none of these candidates. But Trump is on the caucus ballot today, and that's going to happen in that state today. So, but
yeah, I got your caucus right here.
Let's just bask in Nikki Haley ranking the shit out of the Republican Party. Here we go.
You see, he surrounds himself with the political establishment. All of the congressional leaders are all around him.
Talking about Trump.
Every single one of them are responsible for the fact they've gotten nothing done. Look at what happened yesterday. Trump loses the case on having immunity for whatever comes next.
Yeah. Yay!
Like I said, in the original, it didn't make any sense even when it was in the original crayon.
Right.
Republicans lose a fight on the border. They lose a fight on Israel aid. The head of the Republican Party loses her job.
Who's that?
Everything that Donald Trump touches, it's chaos.
I thought she was going to quote Rick Wilson. Everything Donald Trump touches dies.
I thought so.
Yeah, that'd have been great. But
I
love that. I mean, use that, especially that part about Donald Trump being establishment, surrounding himself with establishment Republicans. I love that. That's useful. See, this is the kind of shit that we don't want Democrats to do to Joe Biden. This is why we were so vocal about opposing Cornel West and Marianne Williamson, RFK Jr. and all the rest, Dean Phillips, because all they do-
Because it chums the waters and floods the zone with shit and gives the other guys exactly what they want in terms of things to attack us with.
Yes. So here's Nikki Haley at a separate event saying similar things.
Republicans lost a bill on the border. Republicans lost a bill on supporting Israel. The RNC chair lost her job. Donald Trump was found that he's not immune from any of the charges that are coming up.
Yeah.
It is total chaos.
Yes. Total chaos, says Nikki Haley about the Republican Party.
I thought she was going to quote Rick Astley. I'm never going to give you up.
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down.
No, you're welcome for the earworm.
That would have been fucking awesome.
We're no strangers to love. I do a really good Rick Astley, actually.
No,
David. Ew, David.
Ew, David.
You have it.
Ew, David.
Yeah.
There it is.
I wonder if I could do like Rick Astley, Morrissey singing Never Gonna Give You Up.
Okay. not with the music playing in the background. That would be
never
very
gonna
confusing.
Give you up.
There's nothing worse in my
never let you down.
It's like the worst thing in the world in my brain is when two songs are playing at the same time.
It's like brain surgery without anesthesia.
Yeah, you know? It erases my brain. It literally like destroys neurons in my head when I hear two songs playing simultaneously. So it's like sometimes in the evenings, Kimberly does these calisthenics out in the living room and she's got her headphones on and she sometimes sings along to the music that she's playing. And sometimes her singing along is louder than the music I'm listening to in my office. So I'm hearing the two things playing at the same time.
Do they ever intersect perfectly? Has that ever happened?
I'm never that lucky. No. No, they're
two things that like two things are happening at the other end of the house and they suddenly cross.
Yeah, I'm in here listening to Rush and she's out there singing 80s pop songs. So no.
Yeah, no.
No, they don't.
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I would be singing, I don't know, Skeeter Davis's lyrics to the end of the world soon.
Okay.
You're doing it? You're going to record it?
I'm going to do it, baby.
Oh, awesome.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm going to freaking come in my dress. I'm sorry.
Oh, by the way, the FCC has outlawed AI-generated voices in robocalls.
Thank you! But yeah. How do they do that?
Yeah. Thank God.
But how?
I don't know.
Thank you, but how?
I guess if someone's caught doing it, the federal government can fine them somehow, charge them.
Did you guys see that Jacob Wall and his dude are back on the hook for another $11 million lawsuit?
Oh, I hope that other guy's got his fly zipped up. Because he showed up at that press conference with his fly down like an idiot. Okay, that's it. We're going to go over to the Shadow Docket now. We're talking about podcasting.
Whee!
We're going to talk about all kinds of other fun stuff on the Shadow Docket. Oh, some breaking news. Presidents suffer from gaffes. Also, Rudy says Donald Trump owes him a pile of money. We'll talk about that, too. It's coming up on our Patreon page.
Get in line, old man. Jesus. Patreon.com/Bob Seska
Show. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.